You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman on 97.9 The Hill. I have the wonderful opportunity to interview Pepe Brown Armstrong, a local former basketball player at The Duke University and a very bright mind in the world of computer science, analytics, and of the integration of sports and business. Pepe, thank you so much for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you from when I first saw you on the basketball court as you were dominating and making good things happen for Duke women's basketball to continue to keep it in national prominence. But let's go back in time. Tell me where it all started, where you grew up, and how that journey ended up to bring you to the Triangle region.
Well, oddly enough, I guess where you say where I started to learn anything about sports, I was actually in Raleigh. My parents were in grad school, one at Chapel Hill and one at NC State. And, you know, so I grew up here probably until, fourth grade. But I would say while I was here, though, I didn't know anything about basketball. The only sport I played was soccer at that time.
What?
And it wasn't until I moved to, Maryland. Well, you got to remember my dad was in the Clemson's Hall of Fame for soccer.
That's right.
So that's what we knew. So it wasn't until I moved to Maryland and obviously started growing a significant amount. And, you know, I was with my cousins and extended family that I got introduced to basketball. Somebody said, hey, you know what? And I love sports, so I was willing to try anything. And, yeah, and from there, basically, you know, fell in love with the game, played AAU, played all through middle school, still playing soccer, too, of course, but, you know, played through high school, made the All-Met Metro team. So this is, grew up in Silver Spring, so that's just outside of D.C., so they have, it's basically like the metro area, so Washington, D.C., the southern half of Maryland and, you know, the upper part of Virginia area. And, yeah, the rest is history. I got recruited and decided to come back to an area at least I was familiar with and, you know, a school that was definitely going to give me academic challenges as well as athletic challenges.
So soccer. So are you good at soccer? Were you good in high school or did you never really go deeper with that sport?
No, I could have played in college. I made a decision.
Okay.
I would say my dad is also a math teacher. So we mathematically calculated the odds of getting a full scholarship in either soccer or basketball. And at the end of the day, basketball won out. So all the soccer recruiting letters I got, I politely declined and said I was going to go to college playing basketball.
That is amazing. I'm just floored when I meet people who have the ability to play NCAA Division I sports at the top level at either in either sport. So soccer, definitely very, very physical game. Definitely a lot of math involved, angles. And I think it's very, very similar to basketball. And let me ask you this, in terms of physicality, would you say basketball is more physical, more collisions, or soccer?
Proximity from a physical standpoint, I would say basketball, just because it's just a smaller area, right?
Yes.
But I will say that soccer is really what kept me in shape. So our general motto is they can't touch you if they can't catch you. That's basically it. So then that goes probably for any sport, but you know, with soccer and, you know, especially with basketball, if they can't catch you, they can't touch you. So you learn to bob and weave. You know, I would run circles around people. They would get tired. I wouldn't. I mean, you're running miles and miles and miles without even knowing it in soccer, and you easily could do that in basketball. It's just a different type of running.
Very good analysis. So tell me a little bit more about your Duke career and how you were able to manage high-level sports with high-level academics.
Well, I would say, I mean, the high-level sport with high-level academics, I would say probably at least, you know, was really all throughout my entire, you know, I guess, school career, if you will, or schooling. In high school, yes, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, but I went to a math and science magnet school. So, okay. You know, we had an additional class. We had additional labs. You know, I was taking physics as a ninth grader. You know, we had emails and we were programming in ninth grade. So, you know, we got our homework via email. And this is back in just, you know, everybody remembers this is early 90s, you know, back when everybody didn't have an email account or, you know, it was still kind of new. But, you know, we were doing all those things. So I had to, obviously, like I said, play two sports and still excel in school, even with an additional class. At the end of the day, I mean, I went to school with people who, you know, easily had 1600s on their SAT when I guess that was the score at the time, the top score at the time. So, you know, transitioning from high school to college, you know, especially being at Duke, wasn't, I mean, it was still hard, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like I wasn't prepared for it, you know, from the get-go. So, you know, being at Duke, I decided personally, again, nobody had to, you know, coerce me into doing it. I decided to triple major while I was there, and moved actually from so Duke has two schools. There's the Trinity School, which is like arts and sciences, and then the School of Engineering. So I came in as a Trinity School student and decided to majoring in biological anthropology and anatomy. And then transferred into the School of Engineering my sophomore year, or the end of my sophomore year into my junior year, and decided to tack on two more majors, biomedical and electrical engineering, on top of that. And again, people thought it was crazy. I probably, looking back on it, probably was crazy, but that's what I wanted to do. So, and of course, I wanted to play ball, so you just had to suck it up and get it done.
Well, that is great, great background for our next segment when we talk about what you're doing today. So you're listening to Dr. Debbie Stroman on If You Only Knew, and our guest today is Pepe Brown Armstrong. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. We're talking to Pepe Brown Armstrong, an entrepreneur, a corporate employee, and just a bright mind that we're very, very blessed to have here in the Triangle. Pepe, you were talking about your sport, having played basketball at Duke. We were talking about your interest in math and science and blending, actually, humanities as well. So tell us what you're up to today in terms of your employment, and tell us more about this entrepreneurial venture.
Sure. So currently right now, I would say like any, I guess, typical West Indian, we have 10 jobs. But I work for IBM, and I'm within the Washington IoT division, the engineering division specifically, and working with our portfolio and clients there within marketing. And I also obviously volunteer, coach soccer, basketball for all different levels, girls and guys, my own kids even. Because again, that's just something that I love to do. I tend to take off at least a week just to work basketball camp, just again, for the love of the game. And it reminds you of, you know, other kids coming up, of why you love the game in the first place. It also gives me a chance to eat some ice cream, which I never get to do. What I also do is, basically, it's a goal of mine. I, having dealt with a lot of kids and a lot of parents at various different levels, one of the questions that I always get asked is, you know, how did you do it? Or, you know, what did you do to get to, you know, to get to college? Or, you know, what are some of the things I should be thinking of, and so on and so forth. And I can't even tell you how many conversations I've had like that, be it if I am doing a public speaking engagement and they'll ask me, you know, as part of the Q&A, or maybe stop me afterwards and ask, or, you know, again, at a camp or you know, if you're on, they're on my team. It's a question I, again, and I understand why they ask it. I was blessed to have a parent who went through that whole process. Now, again, this isn't back in the days when you were writing letters to coaches. You know, now, of course, we've come up from there. You know, people are sending text messages. But at the end of the day, the recruiting process hasn't really changed a whole lot, which, you know, could be a double-edged sword. Maybe my thought was, you know, there should be some advances that we should be making in this particular area, which, as old as it is, does not seem to really have moved a lot. You know, the needle, people are still struggling to find the proper information. People are still, you know, struggling even wanting, you know, figuring out what to do first, second, third. You know, people are paying, you know, other people to try and figure this out for them when, you know, equally bright people, I mean, probably even more so than me, you know, have multiple degrees and such, still can't really figure out and navigate this whole process.
You're exactly right. We're talking about matchmaking. Talent wants opportunity, and opportunity wants talent.
That's right. It's hard. There's a lot of options out there that people don't even know that exist. There are a lot of different factors. I mean, this is really for anybody trying to choose a college. There's a lot of different factors that goes into making your choice. And when you add on top of it that you want to play a sport while in college, and there's a whole bunch of different rules behind that, it's paralysis of analysis.
Wow. So in terms of you're having that entrepreneurial mindset, as in finding threads of discontent, looking where people have a demand for something, but yet the product or the service is not available. Talking about this talent and opportunity match, what's going on in your mind? What are you thinking about building? What do you want people to know that it won't be long, but there will be something available to assist you?
Yes, definitely. Not long. We're pushing forward really hard. We've got a couple of things in the works here. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, there's more than 25 million students between the ages of 6 and 17 that play sports, just off the top, right? With the number of people who are trying to, you know, expand on that, you know, outside of the U.S., I mean, there's language barriers. I mean, there's just people just wanting to get ahead, but still want to play, you know, that sport that they loved and played many times since they were kids. So what I'm looking to do, again, and this is a little bit based off of not only my background in athletics, but in academics and within the world of AI and programming, that we have access to all of this information here. As I said earlier, it's a, you know, an analysis paralysis that really needs to be organized in such a way that makes it consumable. And, you know, again, I was lucky that I had a parent that could help, you know, take me through and my sister through this process. But not many people are lucky enough to do so. They may be, you know, extremely talented, but, you know, again, just may not have the wherewithal to know which way to go. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier as well, there's a language barrier in some cases where, again, you know, you've got talent overseas that they would like to, of course, expand and stretch their wings, maybe at a college or university, not only here in the United States, but even in Canada or even other places in the world. But again, they don't have either access to that information or, you know, knowledge of where to go. So what I'm basically in the process of building is a tool to do just that, to try to eliminate some of those barriers that could help people kind of navigate them in the right track. We know at the end of the day that, again, because there's so many, choices, and there's so many factors into making that choice, we're not going to get everything. But there's clearly some things that we can start to automate for a person trying to navigate this path, so they don't feel like it, they don't feel so overwhelmed. And that's where we are. So we're going to be going on a circuit basically from now through the end of the summer, raising funds and talking about this particular idea and putting it into fruition. Obviously, I will be here in the local area talking about it, but I also will be going to Toronto as well for another conference, basically talking about that and meeting with several people for the Canadian inter-university sports system. So, you know, again, there's a lot there, but again, coming soon.
Well, we are excited. I think the market is ready. Any way that we can use the advances in technology to help make any type of hurdle, challenge in the sport world a better thing, and especially for young people and parents who are pulling their hair out trying to figure things out, that is a good thing. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. Pepe Brown Armstrong, I know you're young. I know you still have many, many things that you're going to accomplish. You're going to help make a difference in this world. But I want to think more about you and your values and where you're going. When it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair cheering for Duke and another ACC team, when it's all over, what do you want to be known for?
Well, first of all, thanks for calling me young. I don't know if my joints would agree with you on that aspect of it, but when it's all said and done, I hope that I was able to be an inspiration to all people of all, you know, all types, to say, you know what? This person actually, you know, you could tell they love the game. They love playing sports. And I hope that rubs off on them such that, you know, when I'm sitting in my rocking chair and too old to get up and move around and maybe just yelling from afar, that this next generation is able to, again, pay it forward and use that their drive and their willing to succeed and their love for, you know, whatever sport it is that they want to play, to the next generation on. I mean, this whole process of sports in general many times gets a bad rap. But at the end of the day, it builds team camaraderie. You learn to work with other people, work on teams. I mean, there's so much to be said for it. And I hope I am just, you know, one, you know, little piece of the puzzle to keep this sport thing going.
Well, before we close out, are there any people that you look up to that provide you with inspiration in sport or out of sport?
Well, in sport, although we are the same age, like I said, I always looked up to Mika Catchings.
Yes.
She was always one of my favorites to play against and play with. I mean, she overcame, you know, a whole lot of additional things that, you know, I can't even imagine. But, you know, still made it through. I mean, she finished college early, again, you know, talking about from an academic standpoint, and always had a good head on her shoulders and always had a great attitude and always worked hard. Again, probably one of the most formidable people I've ever played against, but I always had fun, again, playing either against or with her. And she's still doing great things. So, you know, shout out to her. For sure. That's, I think, within the sport. Outside the sport, I mean, I don't know, there's so many people I could name. It's to a point where now, you know, a lot of people that I'm, I guess, now being introduced to or learning about it within books that I'm reading and trying to, I guess, keep my mind sharp there. But yeah, I won't say any one particular person outside. I'm just beg, borrowing, and stealing from all the good people I see around me.
Well, that's well stated. And to lift up Tamika Catchings definitely is a wonderful, wonderful inspiration for so many. And it takes a lot to get me starstruck. But when I had the opportunity to actually meet with her and talk to her, I was definitely very, very grateful and felt blessed and honored. So, Pepe Brown Armstrong, I know you work behind the scenes a lot, but for those in our listening audience, you can actually meet Pepe. You can ask her questions at the 4th Basketball Analytics Summit, April 12th and 13th. And you can go to basketballanalyticsummit.com, basketballanalyticsummit.com, to learn more about our speakers and to also connect with Pepe. Thanks again, Pepe, for the time shared. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.